Cougar football 8-0 for a second straight season, but still not being given the benefit of the doubt, according to some pollsters. Should the Cougars get more of that respect? After leaving the Iowa State game with an injury, what would it mean for BYU if LJ Martin were to miss an extended period of time?
BYU TV analyst David Nixon joins us to discuss the Cougars' undefeated start, what gives him confidence this year could end differently from last year. Plus, women's cross country ranked number one in the country, Jane Hedegren and Riley Chamberlain, will preview the Big 12 championship.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who always enjoys a good Taysom Hill story, Jerem Jordan.
So Kalani Sitake was talking to the media yesterday, and he talked about a Halloween experience he had with Taysom Hill. It's not scary, don't worry.
Quick story. Well, Taysom Hill had a bye one weekend, and he came to my house to visit during Halloween trick-or-treating time. So he came by to visit, and we're trying to get our kids ready for Halloween, and I just said, Taysom, go hand out the candy. I gave him my job. So he goes out there, and next thing I know, there's this huge line at our house because Taysom Hill's over there. Then the next year, we happen to have a bye week or had Halloween off again. It might have been during the middle of the week. And all the kids showed up again, and all they were asking is, where's Taysom Hill? And I was like, oh, this. But it was like, I'm the head coach. They just want the players, you know.
Everybody wants a piece of Taysom.
Yes, they do. I've told this story before, too, but one time I was calling a rugby game in New Orleans, and I decided to go to sacrament meeting, and I just picked a random ward. It was downtown New Orleans, and there was this tall, handsome deacon passing the sacrament. I was like, wait, that's Taysom Hill. With all these short 12-year-olds. And then the NFL
doing his
player
thing.
I was like, we're all equal here. We're all equal here. It was awesome. And then he said, what are you doing here? And I was like, just came to see you, man. No, it was cool.
Very cool. You mentioned the equality there. Yeah, that's the beauty of the gospel. That you can go there.
Everyone's here to serve and help.
Hang out with
sometimes hand out candy at Kalani Sitake's house, which is hilarious.
Oh, great story. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
They're not getting quite all the recognition you want because everyone's counting them out.
If you beat Texas Tech, there's no question where you belong.
BYU will still have to run the ball. So much of BYU's offense is predicated on the running game.
And frankly, the running game has been very, very efficient. Didn't happen against Iowa State. Injury to LJ Martin. And that's where we go as What's Trending, presented by Tyndall and Nissan, part of the Tyndall Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968, gets going. BYU off a huge win on Saturday at Iowa State to improve to 8-0. And now a second bye week. Kalani Sitake said in the postgame, could not come at a better time for the Cougars with how many injuries have begun piling up. We mentioned LJ Martin left in the first quarter, did not return. So here is BYU's head coach Kalani Sitake on LJ's status after the weekend.
We're still evaluating it, so we'll take the time to evaluate and see where he's going to be at. But yeah, I can't give you the answer. You guys know that wasn't going to happen on a Monday after the game.
All right, Jerem, let's evaluate what Kalani just said and discuss a couple of ideas. One, if he's not able to come back and is it out for any extended period of time, what that means for BYU football.
It means more Bear Bachmeyer on the run game. That's what we saw in the second half. It was a lot of design passes, not a ton of play action per se, because you're just not running the ball without LJ a ton. No Sione Moa is a big deal. No sign of Sione for the foreseeable future. We're just planning like he's kind of not playing the rest of the year, it feels like. Preston Rex did a nice job when asked to do stuff. He's certainly a different player from LJ, right? Pressing between the tackles is going to be a little different than pressing outside the tackle. In space, Preston Rex is a baller. He's kind of like a slot receiver playing running back, like a scat back kind of guy. And he can make plays, which is great, but it's just a little different, right? So Bear Bachmeyer, basically we're asking him to take a ton of hits at this point. I know Aaron Roderick was asked a couple weeks ago by Mitch Harper, is it sustainable to run Bear at this rate? And he said no. But for BYU to win, they have to do it. They have to run Bear Bachmeyer more. Design QB draws, also going back to pass and just scrambling and just running, super effective against Iowa State. And that's how BYU won this game is. Offensively, they were able to throw the ball down the field. LJ Martin continues to walk into the Harry Potter room of requirement and ask himself, what do I need to do to win this game? And against Arizona, it was he and LJ just running the ball, just keeping it, ton of runs in that second half. In this second half against Iowa State, it was pass the ball and an occasional run. So I think what it actually means, if LJ can't go next Saturday, which hopefully he can, he didn't walk out in a sling. He didn't break anything. So hopefully it was a minor separation of a shoulder and that he can get back in there. But Texas Tech's defense is the best defense in the Big 12, in my opinion, with BYU. I think those two are the best.
It would be tough even if LJ Martin were healthy.
Million percent, bro. So hopefully he can go. But what it actually means is BYU's got to throw the rock more, and that worked, and that works. We've seen it against West Virginia and now Iowa State now. And it is physically asking Bear to run more.
The very tricky part for Aaron Roderick is how do you not become one-dimensional and lean heavy on the pass game and still make your opponents respect that there is a run game outside of Bear Bachmeier? So if the QB draw, for whatever reason, is not working, what does BYU do to get tough yards and make a defense respect that they can still run the ball? Putting a lot on the offensive line and on the creativity of Aaron Roderick.
Those two are strengths for BYU, what you just asked right there.
I was just going to say that.
Yes.
But the caveat there is Aaron Roderick has been very good at adapting in difficult situations, and BYU's offensive line has been fantastic
this season. They've been great.
Their run-blocking grades are amazing, Jerem. So it just puts more on A-Rod and company to be more creative. We all hope that LJ Martin is back as soon as possible. And again, we don't know his status by week at a perfect time, but even if he can't go in Lubbock, this might be shaping up to be a good old-fashioned OG Big 12 shootout with just a ton of throws from both quarterbacks.
And we'll see which quarterback is suiting up. Is Baron Morton healthy enough to go against BYU next week? He's been in and out of the lineup quite a bit. We mentioned yesterday Will Hammond, torn ACL, out for the year. It's a bummer for Texas Tech, so we'll see, man.
And Baron Morton has been announced as a starter for Kansas State.
Yeah. Will he get to the BYU game? I mean, he's missed, what, three different games, I think? Okay, despite winning 19 of its last 21 and a perfect 8-0 record for the second straight year, BYU is ranked number 10 in the AP poll, the lowest of the undefeated Power 4 teams. Why is not BYU not getting the benefit of the doubt?
How much time do we have here?
Roughly 52 minutes and 26 minutes.
Yeah, I know this is a sore spot for so many BYU fans. And this is on the heels of last year when I felt like BYU did have an early season resume that deserved more respect with the win at SMU when you're a 12-point underdog and then SMU goes on a tear through the ACC. BYU had that dominant ranked win at home over Kansas State where the nation took notice. That propelled BYU into the rankings, but it couldn't quite get him into that elite tier. And I mean by elite, I mean like the top five. BYU doesn't have the luxury of that super impressive early season win on their resume. And
Stanford wasn't it, Spence?
Yeah, a shocker. I know, East Carolina not delivering. Colorado as your Big 12 opener.
Arizona, West Virginia. I mean, Iowa State is unranked at the moment, right? That's a good win.
BYU's
Utah's ranked.
As far as national perception goes, because the rivalry game was so publicized and it was a ranked matchup, people are probably going to point at Utah as BYU's best win.
I would argue yes.
But winning in Ames is never easy, especially with Iowa State off of a bye. 2 weeks to prepare for BYU, the Cougars figured it out. The meat of BYU's resume has just happened in the last 2 weeks. And I thought, okay, maybe there's a bump, but there are no teams above BYU, at least last week, that lost. And so, I mean, I put it out there on Saturday, like, prepare yourselves. BYU's probably not going to go anywhere. I mean, they did kind of. They bumped up a half spot, if you will.
They're tied
for 10th.
The Keelan Marians of Miami.
But it's unfortunate. BYU, we liked the ramp up, but that easier schedule to ramp up is not going to catch voters' attention early in the season. Whereas a team like Georgia Tech, they beat Clemson early, and it was like, whoa, Georgia Tech's for real. Even though Clemson is not great, they do have the benefit of that trampoline win early in the season. BYU does not have that on their schedule. And I would love for the Cougars to get a little bit more respect and be on par with a team like Georgia Tech. And I know people have been joking, well, they don't have a quality loss, Spencer. Like, if BYU had a quality loss, well, they'd probably be higher, around 6 or 7.
which is really fun.
I love the sarcasm.
Like, if BYU would have lost early close at Texas Tech and then continued to do this, like, maybe. I know you're kidding, but I'm not. If they had lost game one or two in the Big 12.
Against an elite opponent.
At Texas Tech, close, they might be respected in a different way. See, now that game's sitting there next week. BYU has an opportunity to validate its entire season in one game span.
Yes, I think to a degree they have already somewhat validated that they are a legitimate team by winning the last two games.
Well, you need to do it against a legit opponent to the country. Like, we know that BYU is good, but the reason BYU is not higher is because the strength of schedule is 49. They don't have a win that's against a team that's inside the top 15 at the moment, or even was. And they continue to trail and kind of come back. There's no style points there. So if they had a few of those things, sure, they'd be ranked higher. I'm not worried about this. Like, is our standard that BYU is going to go undefeated in the regular season here? I still don't believe that, by the way. I believe BYU will lose at some point. A second loss is probably sitting there too. But this team continues to win, so why not just I get Coach Jordan sitting here going one game at a time. Like, if you can somehow beat Texas Tech, like, 10-2 is going to happen. It's just whether it's 11-1 or 10-2. Because I don't believe 12-0 is going to happen. That's crazy. Undefeated regular season, that's crazy.
BYU continues to overperform as the underdog. They've now won seven of the last eight games where they have been listed as the underdog by oddsmakers.
Wow.
Most recently,
wow,
winning in Ames as a 2.5-point dog.
Only one of these is unlike the other, by the way. SMU is crazy. Look at that. 12-point dog. That line was so bad.
Kansas State at home in Provo, 7-point.
Yeah.
7-point dog on the
road. Within one score, you know.
But even BYU this year against Utah, 5.5-point home dog.
It got to 5.5?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. If BYU had style points, if the strength of schedule was a little better, sure.
It's weird because they did have those things last year. They had style points and they had quality ranked wins early in the season. But it's probably because they were so far down to begin and there were no expectations.
And I think we're now
took a while for them to climb.
Yeah, I think now we're in the leveling out with NIL and everything. We're in a world where Indiana is a top three team in the country. It's a different world.
Vanderbilt is ranked above BYU.
Right, right. Vanderbilt, this is a new era of college football. And frankly, BYU is in a Power Four league and they're in the top 10. BYU is part of that conversation. BYU is going to get into November as a top 12 team in the country. This is great. But I want BYU to graduate from being a September-October conversation into a November conversation. And they will be at the start. They'll be in the initial college football playoff rankings inside the top 12. Somewhere. We'll see next Tuesday, right? I want BYU to graduate to the we play as a favorite well, and we are a November-December story. That's the next step for this program.
Being a November and December story is about handling attrition and injuries. It is super difficult, and BYU's in a really tough spot right now.
I'm hoping BYU goes 3-1 in the last four. A loss is probably there, let's be honest.
3-1 in the last four should put you in Arlington.
You can't win every game down 10+. Like, you cannot play that game at Texas Tech, probably. You probably can't play that game at Cincinnati. They are a different level than Arizona, Colorado, even Iowa State. Okay, TCU and UCF, go win those games. Go win those two. But if you can split Texas Tech and Cincy, you're going to go to Arlington.
You should be in Arlington.
You're going to go to Arlington. You're going to have that chance that BYU fans and the team is craving, which is play for a conference championship in a Power Four league.
Let's dive a little bit deeper into this conversation. We're going to play a blind resume game where our graphics team, elite individuals, have put together resumes for ranked teams around BYU in the latest AP poll. We have to try and guess which team is BYU and who the other teams are. And the metrics included are SP Plus from Bill Connolly, ESPN's Football Power Index, ESPN's Strength of Record, and ESPN's Strength of Schedule. There is also
BYU's Team D.
Yes, also in consideration, number of wins over P4 teams, average SP Plus rating, but that we'll get to that in the next graphic. So this first one, SP Plus, FPI, Strength of Record, Strength of Schedule. Which team is BYU? And maybe who are some of the other teams involved here?
Yeah, BYU's Team D. I know that.
They are Team D as in dog?
Yes.
Okay, so that is BYU because you just
did
mentioned,
I stutter?
You just mentioned the strength of schedule 49.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So unless something has drastically changed, yeah, than Team D is BYU. But what about the other teams?
Well,
what,
and which teams? Which
I imagine
teams
Georgia Tech's going to be in there somewhere, Jerem. Who's
the strength of schedule is 83.
Is it Navy?
Team B?
But they're not in the top 25, are they?
Well, in what? FPI? SP Plus?
No, and strength of schedule, 83.
I'd be shocked if Navy's on this. I don't think they – I don't know who Team A and C are.
Okay, I don't think it's Navy because they're not – I don't think they're currently ranked.
I mean, A might be – is that Indiana? Like, that might be Indiana.
Okay, again, from top to bottom, SP Plus, FPI, strength of record, strength of schedule.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is Oregon in there somewhere?
I don't know. Let's reveal it. I'm not sure. I know BYU's Team
and
D.
And the big reveal.
I don't know on the others.
Yes, BYU is Team D. It is Oregon.
Yeah, okay, it's Oregon.
Georgia Tech, Jerem, has the 83rd ranked strength of schedule.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they are 3 spots higher than BYU in the current top 10.
Because Clemson wins.
That number said because of the style points of beating Clemson on their home field.
They also have a quarterback that is tough as nails.
Vanderbilt's resume is legitimate. Like, they're beating teams.
Yeah.
Like, they're good.
Yeah.
I have no issues with their resume. And I know that people are bent out of shape about Oregon losing at home to Indiana. Indiana's ranked number 2 in the country.
That's their one loss? That's fine. Yeah.
So, their strength of record is still good. Speaking of the Ducks, everybody should take issue with Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I know their SP Plus is okay. But FPI, 25.
Nice.
Strength of schedule, 83.
Yeah, woof. Okay, next one. Here we go.
Okay, blind resume 2. Number of wins over Power 4 teams. Kay. Average SP Plus rating of wins versus FBS teams. And best win by SP Plus rating. I'm going to be honest. I have no idea who BYU is in this graphic. I have no idea.
Well, let's count
do have 6 Power 4 wins.
Okay, so it's C or D?
They do have 6 Power 4 wins, I believe.
What's average opponent? What's that again? The second one?
The average SP Plus rating of wins versus FBS team. So how good was the...
So it's BYU C or D.
FBS team you beat. Oh, man.
Best win by SP Plus? No, best win by what?
Best win by SP Plus rating.
BYU's D then, probably, right? Because they don't have a win versus the number 7.
Where's Utah? Where is Utah in SP Plus?
Not 7.
Okay.
But they're not 45. So now I'm confused. I don't know. I don't know. I have no clue who's who here. But like, maybe BYU's not on the graphic.
It'd be all right, and the reveal.
Okay,
it is.
They're there. Wait, so Utah 7 in SP Plus? Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
BYU has
That's a great win!
The best win on the board of any team in this graphic in that final category.
Over Ole Miss and Vandy and Georgia Tech. Wow.
Again,
Ole Miss beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma still 8 in SP Plus? Still? Wow.
Georgia Tech. What the heck, man?
Duke's the best win at 45.
I know Georgia Tech has 6.
Yeah, this is an anti-Georgia Tech segment.
6 P4 wins, but their best win is against the team that's ranked 45th in SP Plus.
Oh, the Dukies!
That's not even Clemson, by the way. Clemson's 48.
Oh, yeah. The at-the-time perception of Clemson. Yeah, to your point. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Did we just realize that BYU probably should be what? 9th?
Georgia Tech shouldn't be 7 or 8 or whatever.
Bring Georgia
are.
Tech down, pull BYU up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all good. That was a fun exercise. Anti-Georgia Tech rhetoric here. Rambling wreck. Yesterday it was announced that BYU's game at Texas Tech will be a noon Eastern 11 a.m. local kick on either ABC or ESPN. If Texas Tech wins, probably on ABC. If they lose this week, ESPN. Do you like this?
Not really.
Why not?
I just don't like, if BYU were at home, like when they played Oklahoma at 10 a.m. in 2023, I was fine with that because you're on your home field. You're in your own bed. Like you could wake up.
It technically stay in a hotel, but yeah.
I know. There's no travel involved. Now BYU has to, now it gets weird because they typically like to fly in on when it's a closer game. The flight's 2.5 hours or less. They like to fly in on Friday. I don't know if they can do that now.
I bet they need to go Thursday, I think. Yeah.
I don't know that they can do that now. Now you're like, you're changing the whole schedule. And when you practice and how you practice and your body clocks, you got to adjust the body clocks. I know they have two weeks to get ready for it, which is a benefit.
Dr. Skyler Main will have the boys ready.
You know? But the one game that BYU lost on that graphic we just showed you in the 8 games that they have been an underdog in, was an early kick against Arizona State on the road. And it was a tough opponent.
That had more to do with ASU being a good team, I think.
And Texas Tech is great.
I think they're really good. I know some BYU fans won't like this. I still think Texas Tech is the number one team in the Big 12. I know they've lost one game on the road by four with their backup quarterback. Do you think BYU would do the same thing in that situation?
Probably.
By four?
I mean, saying like, would BYU lose that game? Probably going to lose
that game. It'd be tough. This is a show me game. I'm excited about it. I don't care. I think since 2024, BYU's 4-1 in day games. They beat Baylor last year in a similar situation on the road in Texas, right? Prior to 2024, that was a different BYU. BYU had lost the previous 10 day games, which is a crazy streak. So I'm feeling fine about it. I don't think this affects BYU in maybe the way some fans do historically.
I'd be okay if it were like that second window. I like the 1:30 Mountain Time, 2:30 Central. I really like that window. I think it's fun.
BYU was up like 21-3 or 21-7 against Baylor. They jumped out quick. They won the game.
Yeah.
I don't know that time of day has as much to do with winning and losing as we think, although BYU's been unbelievable at night.
And then that factors
into
it.
And last week it was a 1:30 BYU, you know, they started slow. They won the game by 14.
The question is, do you like this? I don't like it.
It's true. I'm fine with it, yeah.
It's okay, but I don't like it.
Hey, College game day might be there.
If Texas Tech beats Kansas State Manhattan,
yeah,
don't be surprised.
Yeah.
All right, our question of the day. Do all of you like the BYU-Texas Tech game kicking off at 11 a.m. local time in Lubbock?
No one breaks down kick times like BYU.
Why or why not? At JV Fiso on X says, when I saw the first time, I was like, ugh. I liked the Vampire Cougars, but then I shrugged and thought the start time doesn't matter. They have time to prepare and practice moving up their game day routine. The team will do what it needs to do. I love that they have 2 weeks to get ready for this.
Didn't the primary song teach us early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy and wealthy and wise? Just two of those three for me, but yeah.
Okay. We'll let you decide which two are relevant. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
You missed Coordinator's Corner featuring Aaron Roderick, K-pop, the K-pop Demon Hunters. Iowa State, recap. It's anytime on demand on the BYUSN, BYUSN.com and the BYU TV app.
After the break, BYU TV football analyst David Nixon back on the program. Why is he confident BYU's undefeated start this season will be different than last year? Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Does it get any better than this? Does it get any better than this? I love what this team is doing. Recruits are taking notice of it. They're finally getting some recognition. They execute when they need to execute. They came with big plays when they need to come with big plays. This is something this BYU team, they did all last year. They're doing it again this year. They play with a chip on their shoulder.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is former NFL and BYU linebacker David Nixon to discuss the Cougars' 8-0 start. Top 10 ranking of sorts and much more. David, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Listen, I love coming on the show when the Cougars are undefeated. I mean, it's a simple recipe. Just go undefeated and I'll come on the show. That's how it works out.
That's it? That's all you need?
That's all I need.
What a win at Iowa State. I mean, this team continues to trail by 10-plus and then come back. I mean, on the road at Iowa State is crazy. Before the season, this looked like one of the tougher games, and it was. Yeah. And BYU looked great.
It looked great. And to your point, the resilience of this team to bounce back. I mean, you look at Colorado down 14-0, right? They found themselves down against Utah and clawed back. I love that about this team because they have the confidence. They have the swagger now that despite being down 14 against Iowa State, we can go rattle off and go 31-3 in the last, you know, couple quarters. It's incredible what this team is doing. And like I said, the confidence that it instills in these guys that they're never out of it, right? Colorado, same thing, 14-0. It's like everything's against them. No, they're still in it. And they clawed back and you know, I had to tape this game because I was coaching my younger son's teams. I turned my phone off. When I did turn on, I had 170 missed texts because everyone was talking about the game. And I found myself, honestly, after the first couple drives and BYU's down and Iowa State was moving the ball, I was like, okay, surely the time was going to come when BYU would lose a game, right? It's really tough to go undefeated. But then also I had this back feeling. I was like, hey, they're never out of this. Bearing this offense and the defense and what they can do to create short fields. Like, they could still be in this game. And then all of a sudden the game played out, and I was going absolutely nuts. But, you look at the stats, and BYU, obviously the turnover margin is huge, right? When you're plus four in the turnover margin, you're going to win a lot of ball games. And I think that is what this team does. Defensively, They're getting takeaways, but offensively, they're taking care of the ball. And that's coming from a freshman quarterback. And you look at Bear's stats, the 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's incredible what he's able to do to manage his offense. And I think a lot of credit goes to Aaron Roderick and how he's dialed up these play calls where he's not getting a lot of complex reads. A lot of it's play action. You got 1 or 2 reads and get it out or run it. Aaron's managed Bear and his offense tremendously. And it's been exciting. I mean, we've got to live this up. This is top 10 ranking. Like, it just doesn't happen around
life's
here.
Good.
Life's great.
Okay, to your point about play action, there was no play action in the second half because LJ Martin gets hurt. That was a new wrinkle. Iowa State knew BYU was going to pass, and they still couldn't stop him. Bear Bachmeyer has figured out how to do what it takes to win.
Yeah, you know what's funny? There was still play action, but it wasn't like a real – I think it was just out of habit. And that's the play call. Like, I've got to fake this.
The motion is there.
Yeah, the motion is there. Nobody's buying it, right? Although Preston Rex, he got some touches, and he looked good. Like, he's got the speed. He's not a bruiser, but he filled in. And credit to him for being ready to go when LJ went down. The whole stadium knew. And this is how I feel about Bears quarterback draws. When he scores touchdowns against Utah, he scored against Iowa State. The whole stadium knows he's going to do quarterback
draws. Arizona, the last fourth quarter, he was running the ball.
It was a Bear show, right?
Yeah.
And teams know that they're going to quarterback draw this, and they still can't stop it. And that's a credit to the offensive line. And we broke this down on AFR a couple weeks ago. The way that BYU and they position their bodies and block and set up the blocks and Bear sets them up. I mean, everything's beautiful. And T.J. Woods with the offensive line, everything's clicking right now for this team. And that's just not by happen chance, right? These guys have put in the work, and they're dialed. I love how the culture of the team is bought in. I mean, they love Bear. I think Jada tweeted out just an emoji of a bear the other day. And that's all. I think it was a Sunday. And I love that this offensive line loves this kid. And I think with him being a true freshman, they take him under his wing. It's like their little brother. Like, we're going to protect and take care of this kid. And they're doing that. This offensive line's absolutely balling out. Because you lose LJ, and they didn't really miss a beat. And yeah, BYU had to pick it up in the pass game a little more. But they didn't miss a beat. They continue to protect Bear. And his numbers show that. His numbers are unbelievable, outstanding. And Parker Kingston stepping up. I mean, different guys are stepping up. And I think that's what they know is what our roles are. And if somebody goes down, I've got to step my game up a little bit. And everybody's rising to the occasion.
BYU former football linebacker and current BYU football analyst David Nixon is on BYU Sports Nation. There's this conversation brewing around BYU that, oh, they're so lucky. Iowa State gave it to them. And that comes from not just outside of the BYU fan base, but there are a good portion of BYU fans saying, whew, it's just fortuitous. They're just getting super lucky bounces. But they still have to go and make plays, right? You have to take advantage of those turnovers and cause force points, if you will. So where do you stand in that conversation that BYU is lucky or they're opportunistic?
I just love what Kalani said. You create your own luck, right? And it's true. You can't tell me Satuala's pick is luck, right? That's a guy who's doing his exact job. He has the flats. He breaks on the ball. He knew exactly what they're trying to run. They ran number 2 on a little pick route. He fights over the top of that. He's got his eyes on the quarterback because it's zone. So he's reading the quarterback. He senses the tight end going to the flat, and he jumps the route. That's not luck.
Or
right?
Even Parker Kingston's touchdown grab to make it 34-27.
Yeah, Bear knows they brought 6 on that particular play, right? The Parker Kingston where he just throws the ball up, right? He knows he brought 6, so he doesn't have help over the top. It's a one-on-one with the DB, and Parker just goes up and gets it. Athlete against athlete. He knew he had a phenomenal athlete in Parker. Let me throw it up and get it. So, even the punt where it hits the player's foot, Iowa State's, you're taught. I've been taught this from when I was in college to NFL. You're taught that when there's the team is trying to block you, right? The kick return, punt return team, and you're on punt cover. When the punt return team's trying to block you, and the ball's anywhere in the vicinity, you are taught to grab that guy and you run him right into the ball. You grab him and you drag him into the ball. You throw him. You put him on the ground into the ball. It doesn't matter. You try to get that guy. And we talked about in the post game. They mentioned that in film study. Kelly Papine and this staff realize that Iowa State is reckless when it comes to balls on the ground. They just keep blocking, and they don't fire, or poison. They don't get away from the ball. And so these guys saw that on film. They practiced all week, and sure enough, there's the ball, and they did what they practiced, and they threw the Iowa State player into the ball, and BYU gets the ball. I mean, this isn't luck. This is happening. They're creating their luck here. And so I get the notion that you know, what people are saying, but BYU is well-coached, they're well-skilled, and these guys are executing at a really high level. And there's still stuff to clean up and fix. Like, candidly, I watched that game, and the linebackers did not play great. And rightfully so. You got a lot of banged up bodies in there. And Sarah got banged up early in the game, so you're switching guys in and out. So there's stuff where BYU can definitely fix. But overall, when you look at the stats, you've watched the game, and I feel more than anything, when you see the heart of this team, right? And like I said, kind of the persona they built, it's exciting. I mean, this is something that, you know, once again, BYU will probably lose at some point, no question, right? It's really, really tough to go undefeated. But this ride so far and what they're showing on the field, they will be in every game. I don't see them getting blown out by anybody. I think they'll be competitive every game.
That's what it was last year. And now BYU has Texas Tech next week. But what if LJ Martin isn't 100% or can't go against Texas Tech? Then what?
Yeah, it changes the game plan, no question. But if there's anything I've learned from Aaron Roderick is he's dealt with injuries in the past and had to switch out quarterbacks. I mean, they find a game plan. And I love the fact there's a bye week because you can get guys up and going and get them ready. And you can also structure game plans to fit their strengths, right? Preston Rex is great out of the backfield. Get him out and in space, right? Put him on some one-on-ones with Texas Tech linebackers and safeties. And then now Ahina, you get him involved in the run game. He's more of a power runner than Preston is. So get him going downhill. And then, of course, how do you protect Bear? Bear got a little nicked up in this game, so you can't run him all game long, especially against a Texas Tech defense that's one of the best in the Big 12 and a strong physical defense. So I'll trust the coaching staff. They've earned my trust in the sense that they've performed well. The coach staff is putting together game plans and making sure these guys are ready. But no question, LJ's, that's a big blow. And that BYU was already, you know, pretty weak as far as depth goes going into the season. And then, of course, Sione Moa being out. And then, you know, other guys not being available. It's hurt that running back room. But hopefully, hopefully LJ's okay. But if not, I think there's guys back there. They can figure out ways to give him the ball.
You already mentioned Fale Tuatuola and his pick six. He was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. So zooming out, as you look at BYU for the entirety of the season, who is the best defender for BYU this season? Because he has a case.
He has a very strong case. He leads his team in tackles. The next guy behind him is Tanner Wall, and Satuala's got 15 more tackles than him on the season. And the pick six was huge, right? This defense, and I was talking about this off air, that, yeah, you prefer to have your linebackers probably lead the team in tackles. But if you watch this defense and the scheme that Jay Hill's been dialing up, a lot of it's a spill technique. So they're spilling everything to the edges, and BYU's sending their safeties down to the box to make those tackles. It's not a huge surprise that those guys are leading the team in tackles because of the schemes that BYU's running. And you've also got – those guys are studs. Tanner Wall and Satuala, those guys are bona fide studs. And so you can trust in them that, hey, if we do play this particular scheme and technique, these guys can come up in the box and they're strong enough, they're physical enough to make those tackles, and they're doing it. So I think he has a strong case. I mean, this is definitely a collective effort. That defensive line played – I thought played pretty well in the game. You look at this D-line now – I really say the front seven sacks in the last two games. And they're on pace to shatter last year's record. They have 17 so far this year. BYU had 20 total last year, and BYU still has five games to go, right? Including some bowl games, or we'll figure out how.
Six or seven of the college football playoff. Yeah. What are you talking about,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm really, really impressed with this BYU defense and how they're playing. And once again, this is with a lot of guys that are nicked up. And hopefully this bye week gets those guys a little more, just gives them a break. Their body just needs a little bit of a break, and it couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah, it literally is a great time. I mean, everyone says that, but this is a great time for BYU. Okay, BYU's 8-0. We had this last year. BYU stumbled to the finish after beating Utah 9-0, the high of that. They rebounded in a great way last week, winning after the Utah game, which was awesome. Do you feel like this year will be a little different? Will BYU be able to get to Arlington? Because if they go 3-1 in the Final Four, they're probably there. They go 2-2, it's probably a tiebreaker scenario.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be played out in this Big 12. There's so much parity this season, and there's you don't know what you're going to get each week. And frankly, injury bug hasn't bit just BYU. It's bit Texas Tech with their starting quarterback situation. I mean, Utah, there's a lot of guys that are dealing with injuries, so you don't know how those are going to play out for the rest of the season. But I think if there's any good thing to take away from last year's stumble is the fact that they've gained this experience. I think Kalani also knows how to rally the troops, knowing what happened last year. I think they can relate back to last year, this team, Jack Kelly, Glasker, all these guys, Wall, all these veterans have been there, done that. Obviously, Bear wasn't here, but Chase Roberts and Kingston, I mean, the majority of the team was here last year. And I think they have a sour taste in their mouth. They knew they should have been playing that Big 12 championship game. I think that's the part that killed them the most, is that they controlled their own destiny and they didn't get the job done. And so I think there's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and a sour taste in their mouth from that I hopefully they prevent that from happening. But let's not kid ourselves. This schedule here at the end, now with Cincinnati playing the way they are, this is going to be brutal. This last, these last few games here on the road, Texas Tech, on the road, Cincy, TCU continues to play well. This is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough stretch. And BYU's health will play obviously a huge part in that, if they can get some of these guys back and get them full speed.
Can BYU find a way to win three of the final four and really be in that conversation? Great stuff from David Dixon. If you want more, you can find him on BYU TV
tonight at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Of course, David, Dave, Blaine. After further review, recapping the Iowa State game coming up tonight, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way, multiple Cougars received national recognition yesterday, and Lee Kamard makes his head coaching debut. Headlines next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. This is BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU football enters its second bye week, 8-0, ranked in the top 10 in the AP poll. Head coach Kalani Sitake said yesterday the goal for the bye week is to get healthy and prepare for Texas Tech. Cougars play the Red Raiders next week in Lubbock.
BYU freshman quarterback Bear Bachmeier receives national recognition yesterday for his performance against Iowa State. He was named to the Davey O'Brien Awards Grade 8 and was named one of the Manning Awards Stars of the Week. Bachmeier threw for 307 yards, two touchdowns, and ran for a team-high 49 yards and another touchdown in that hard-fought win in Ames.
BYU safety Falatau Satuala was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against Iowa State. He recorded a team-high 10 tackles, including a tackle for loss and a 40-yard pick six that doubled BYU's lead in the fourth quarter.
BYU basketball point guard Rob Wright III, one of 20 players named to the Bob Cousy Award preseason watch list, awarded every year to the best point guard in all of college basketball.
That move was unbelievable.
So good. Wright transferred to BYU from Baylor, where he played his freshman season.
Women's soccer lost the second straight match, 2-1 to UCF in Orlando yesterday. Mia Lopez scored her lone goal, her fifth of the season. With the loss, BYU 3-5-2 in the Big 12 with 11 points, tied for eighth in the final spot for the Big 12 tournament with three other teams. Cougars probably need a win and some help at Utah Thursday to secure a spot in the Big 12 tournament, but they are looking good for the NCAA tournament, fear not.
Yes, RPI looks good, beat the Utes. BYU women's basketball will host Western Colorado tonight in their lone exhibition game before the start of the regular season. Coverage begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Listen on BYU Radio.
Women's volleyball holds steady at number 17 in this week's ABCA poll after splitting road matches last week, beating number 10 TCU, losing to number 19 Baylor before that. Up next, BYU hosts UCF tomorrow night.
And 12th-ranked BYU men's golf in first place through 36 holes at the Preserve Golf Club Collegiate in Carmel, California, shooting 26 under par as a team. BYU tees off this morning in the final round of play. Good luck.
First time we're mentioning this. Join us for a special men's basketball season opening countdown to tip-off pregame show Monday ahead of BYU-Villanova. Live from Provo, Spencer will be in Vegas at the game as A.J. DeBonta and the Cougars begin the season. Coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on BYU TV and the app. The postgame will be on the app only after with exclusive interviews. It's going to be awesome.
It's fun when it counts on the record.
Yes, it does.
After the break, cross-country stars, track and field stars for that matter, Jane Hedengren and Riley Chamberlain of the number one ranked BYU women's cross-country squad join us in studio to preview the Big 12 championships. This is BYU SN.
The runnings.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
I love greatness on this program. Greatness.
Greatness?
We're about to talk with greatness. Okay. That's what I like.
Let's show them on the screen.
Let's show them.
They are from the BYU women's cross country team and a number one ranked team.
Yeah.
Mind you, the great Riley Chamberlain, who's done this a lot of times, and Jane Hedengren, who's making her BYU Sports Nation debut.
Welcome to the show, Jane.
Welcome.
Thanks.
What's up, Riley? How you guys doing?
Good to be here.
Okay, I'm guessing that you like what's happening in the season because you are currently ranked number one, but I'd love to hear your thoughts, starting with you, Riley, on how you feel the season is going overall for BYU women's cross country.
I feel like it's been great. Like, honestly, we've been very consistent, which is, like, rare in cross country. There's so many ups and downs, which we've had. But overall, I feel like everyone stayed very calm and worked together, and we've all balanced each other out to stay very consistent. And just we just are very process oriented. So it's been good.
And Jane, for you, it's your first season, but how would you assess the season overall?
Yeah, I love the patience that this team has approached this season with, and that we just keep building week after week, trying to encourage one another, and just showing up as our best selves and trying to get the most out of each other.
Riley, I've been talking about with the football team, at some point BYU won't be the underdog, won't be the disrespected team. They'll be the respected team and have to play in front, right? You guys have won a natty. You are number one. So walk us through what it's like being in that position where you're expected to be good and you answer the bell.
Honestly, I feel like it's kind of like a blessing to be like expected to do well. Like we've done well in the past, and just being expected to do well, it just like, I don't know, like it's awesome. And I feel like, I mean, each year, like what you did last year won't get it done the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so like each year, like we have to also level up like from what last year was, because last year's number one won't get us this year's number one. And so just focusing on what we can improve upon and just like evaluating ourselves. We're not like focused on everyone else. It's just how we can get better. That's all we can do and all we can control. So, yeah.
Jane, what have you learned from a runner like Riley, who is a true veteran for BYU women's cross country?
Man, it's just been so inspiring to be on this team and be with Riley and others. From Riley specifically, I've learned like just her outlook and perspective on the sport and life of that she works really hard at this and she loves it and she is so disciplined, but she also has these other avenues of her life that are developed and that she cares about. And I just love the balance that this team tries to incorporate within life and keeping that happiness and joy at the root.
What are these other things you care about, Riley?
School, I feel like Coach T talks about, she's like, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so like, I feel like just like investing in my teammates, investing in like my family and my friends and like school as well, like it all like comes together to benefit me in running as well. And so, but that's very nice of Jane. She's taught me so much too. I feel like I'm just along for the ride.
Jane, Riley mentions Coach T, of course, Diljit Taylor. What was the recruiting process like for you with her when you were assessing all of the options you had in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, every school has like similar things, right, between the facilities and stuff. But this school is special, and what makes it so special is like the resources and this team and Coach Taylor, like just having those relationships and people to learn from. And ultimately, that's why I decided to come here, and I'm so glad I did.
What's been the best part about it? Because you could have gone anywhere. You're from Provo. Your dad teaches here at BYU, but you had to choose BYU. And what have you enjoyed so far about the experience?
Again, going back to that team element, like it's so much better than I ever could have imagined. Like the way that these women approach life, like I had a different idea of what it took to be great. But then these women are so disciplined and doing it in great ways, but they also like live their life and have and are joyful and have these other avenues that they can focus on. And so, yeah, coming in, I had a different perspective of what it might look like to be one of the best in the NCAA, but you can do it many ways. So that's been really awesome to see.
BYU cross country stars Riley Chamberlain and Jane Hedengren are on BYU Sports Nation. Riley, now it's your turn to gush on Jane. What has she brought to this team from a dynamic standpoint?
Oh my gosh, so much. I feel like Jane has like taught me how to test my limits more than anyone else, like in practice every day. Like she always brings her best and she always like gives more than even like we're necessarily expected to. Like we have like different workouts where maybe like we don't need to push quite as hard, but like we are able to like find a different limit that we wouldn't have found like thanks to Jane. And then like she's just always so positive and happy, and she's just so like she just loves this sport so much. And so like I don't know, and we're locker buddies too, and so like getting to talk to her every day, and like I walk in, she's like, good morning, Riley. It's just so much fun. So I just appreciated having her there.
I just ran 17 miles and feel amazing. What's that like, Jane? I'll never know that.
When did you start loving running?
Ooh, probably since like I started, like around middle school and stuff. It was just, it kind of gave me this freedom outside of like running, outside of like schooling and all these other things in my life, and gave me the space to be outside and in nature and connect with others. So yeah, I think over time that love has developed, and I've found things that I just really love in different ways. And but yeah, I think at its pure, simple, like at the beginnings, I love just getting out there and connecting with others and nature and pushing my body.
At what point, and I'd like both of you to answer this because I love this, but there's something that happens in an athlete's mind when you're like, I might be pretty good at this. So when did that happen for both of you? Jane, we'll start with you.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I think probably around the end of my sophomore year high school, I ended up surprising myself and performing better than I maybe thought I would at some national meets. And that was really encouraging, just seeing that I could compete with some seniors that had been at these national meets before. And it was just awesome to kind of put myself out there and really, really, yeah, just give it my best effort and see how I lined up on the day. And it ended up being pretty, working out pretty well. And so from then on, just trying to work diligently year by year of making those small gains. But
then Riley, for you, when was the click or the turning point?
Honestly, like I realized I was pretty good at running in high school, but I don't think I realized that I could be great until I got here to BYU. Coach Taylor like really pulled it out of me. I think my freshman year, my indoor season, I just performed better than I thought I ever would, honestly. And so like I think that was really the turning point for me, where I was like, okay, like I can be great at this, especially with Coach Taylor and my teammates. So yeah.
Okay, and for both of you, Rimrock Farm in Lawrence, Kansas is the site of the Big 12 championships. What are some of the keys going into that to try and win a Big 12 title?
I think like how we've been like doing all season is just trying to put our best selves out there and work together as a team, and have fun on the day. That like we really enjoy the competing element, and just trying to put our best selves out there. What do you think, Riley?
I think, yeah, just like being process oriented, like our pack has been working really well together. And then me and Jane kind of like cue off of each other. And then like it all just comes together. Like we've been putting it together in practice lately. So I feel like we're looking pretty good going in. So, yeah.
Well, let's give you all the BYU Sports Nation karma that both of us can muster up to go and dominate in Kansas. And I was talking to your coach recently about, you know, maybe wearing some sleeves. By the way, how do cross-country runners swag out? All these other athletes, they just swag out. What does a cross-country runner do to swag out?
The headband.
I love the headband. Probably the hair.
The accessories. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Jane got her nails
love it.
Done.
Love
do it all.
Love
do it,
it
all. Congratulations on all your success. Great to have you with us.
Best of luck
so
Friday.
Much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Okay, Women's Hoops takes on Western Colorado in an exhibition game tonight. You want to see how Lee Kamard handles himself as the head coach? I'm hoping he gets a technical tonight.
That's what I yell.
It's not going to happen.
Angry,
it's an
Lee.
Exhibition. But 9 Eastern, ESPN Plus, BYU Radio tonight.
We wrap up today's show after the break with today's Rise and Shout Out and our elite voice of the day. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Our question of the day, do you like the BYU-Texas Tech game kicking off at 11 a.m. Central Time in Lubbock, 10 a.m. Mountain? Why or why not? Our elite voice of the day presented by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory, from Thomas Kelly on X, who says, love it. Plan on eating some delicious German pancakes while watching BYU TV Sports Nation game day in preparation for the game, Jerem.
That's a great response. I love that, especially because I'm a little hungry right now.
German pancakes are delicious.
Yeah.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Tragically, a few weeks ago, one of my classmates at Copper Hills High School, Nate Hull, passed away. His kids were planning on going to the game with him, so they went with their uncle. BYU rolled out the blue carpet for them. They met Kalani. They were on the field pregame, in the locker room after the game. Shout out to the whole family as they go through this difficult time, and for BYU to show them the love and bring them inside at the Iowa State game. I love that. This is more than football.
Incredible. Jeremy, this is not uncommon. I saw BYU do something similar earlier in the season, I believe against Colorado. Maybe
yes.
It was the Arizona game.
It was Colorado. Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. Our thanks to today's guests, David Nixon, Jane Hedegren, and Riley Chamberlain.
Sorry to Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer, and a final shout-out to Eddie Heckard. See you for AFR and BYU Football's Kalani Sitake. Go Cougs.